The reading today is taken from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Light will shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For we who are living are always being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Mark chapter 2, reading from verse 23 to chapter 3, verse 6. One Sabbath he was going through the cornfields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. So who here likes a day off? Hands up. About half the people in the room like a day off. Are the rest of you workaholics? Permanently. I would have thought that, seeing as some of you are pensioners, every day would be a day off. Or is that stretching it too far? What about if you're at school? Do you like a day off? Yes? What do you like to do on a day off? What do you like doing? Playing football? Go to the park, seeing your friends, chilling out, relaxing. Everybody likes a day off. And that gospel reading, it talks about the concept of a Sabbath. And a Sabbath is God's commandment to us in the Bible that once a week we should take a day of rest. And in Judaism, it's still observed. They call it Shabbat. And it starts every Friday and lasts through to Saturday. And the word Shabbat, they translate as being an island in time. It's like a little oasis where you can't even do any sort of work. So you can't turn the lights on, because that would be creating a fire, which is an act of work. You can't tear your toilet paper, because tearing is an act of work. So you use tissues instead, which come out of the box. And you cannot, under any circumstances, have any screens, phones, tablets, iPads, radios, entertainment, or anything like that. How do you think you would survive for 24 hours without a screen? Heaven. Thank you. Absolute heaven. I think we should be more Sabbath people, do away with these screens, but I think there would be some mutiny going on if I were to say that. So Jesus and his disciples are walking through a field on the Sabbath. Let me just tell you the story again in a slightly different way. It's early morning and they're walking through the field and they're on the way to the synagogue. Peter says, Jesus, can't we have breakfast first? I'm really hungry. Me too, said John. My tummy's rumbling. I don't think we've got any food, said Andrew. Not a single loaf of bread. That's okay, said Jesus. We'll get some on the way. So on the way to town, they passed through a farmer's field. This field is growing barley, said Peter. I love barley. Let's have some for breakfast, said Jesus. Well, that doesn't seem right, said Mary Magdalene. Won't the farmer be upset? No, it's all right, said Jesus. In the law of Moses, in the Bible, God says for farmers to leave some grain behind after the harvest. That way the poor people can gather it and have something to eat. Well, hey, said Peter, that's us. Well, look, said Mary, most of the field has been harvested, but there's a bit left here at the end of the rows. So they all picked handfuls of grain from what the farmer had left for the poor people. Then they carried on their way to the synagogue. And as they walked up to the door, they found some grumpy-looking men blocking their way. You're in trouble, Jesus, said one of them. We saw you doing something against the law. You were picking grain. Oh, it's all right, said Mary. Jesus reminded us that the law tells farmers to leave a little grain for the poor people to pick. That's what we were doing. Well, said the grumpy man to Jesus, this follower of yours admits it. You were harvesting grain. That's against the law on the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is a day of rest when you can't do any work. And Nathanael said, well, you don't seem too relaxed. Maybe you should try and get some rest yourself. And Jesus just said, Nathanael, just let me take this one. So he said to the grumpy man, God didn't give us the Sabbath to make us suffer. When people are hungry, they need food, even on the Sabbath. Think about it, said Jesus. Did God make human beings so that they can serve the Sabbath? Does God people want people to be hungry and sad on the Sabbath? Or did God give the Sabbath to us as a joyful blessing? Well, I guess the Sabbath is supposed to be a blessing, said the grumpy man. But he didn't seem particularly pleased about it. Right, said Jesus, the Sabbath is God's gift to us. We get to rest from our work, and we have time to sing and pray and learn together. Today to treat people well, to help people, not to harm people. Well, I'll have to think about that, said the grumpy man. But who do you think you are trying to teach me about the Sabbath anyway? Jesus smiled. I'm the son of Adam, the true human child the prophets spoke about. And that makes me Lord of the Sabbath. In the Bible, those disciples aren't named. Jesus is simply walking with them. So we can put a little bit of interpretation on it. But so many Bible stories in the Bible tell us about our calling, our revealing that comes from God. You could think about St. Paul's experience on the road to Damascus. And sometimes when we hear God's calling to us, we don't always get it right first time. Sometimes it takes a while to work out that sense of calling. Samuel, in the Old Testament, has two failed approaches before he recognizes God and is ready to hear the word. And there are so many ways in which we're called. Our name, our personal identity, is so important to us. I was on a course a couple of weeks ago, training to be a foster carer so I can support Becky better in the future. And one of the things that they asked us to do was to think about our name. Do we like it? Do we not like it? Do we know who gave it to us? Do we know why they gave it to us? Is there anything we change about it? Each of us has been given a name, and each of us will carry that name throughout our lives. Okay, we might change it. People might use nicknames. But our name is still our identity. It allows us to hear someone calling us. And quite often, it's as we heard in that last hymn, where God is saying, "Will you come and follow me?" And then it's followed by a question. Is it really me that you're calling? Are you calling me to do all these things? And that stage of questioning probably comes for most of us before we can actually turn and say yes to God. Understanding our calling or our vocation might be a long and drawn-out process. Sometimes the decision comes only after testing. Sometimes we just have to be open to the prayerful advice of those whom we trust. We have to be open to the possibility that God's call is sometimes not going to lead us where we expect, or in fact, even where we want to go. God's call on our lives can demand hard things of us. It can demand us to change, to give things up, to take new things on. But God is calling. Sometimes hearing hard things, hearing difficult things can move us away from our comfort zone. And maybe that's exactly sometimes what we need. If we're going to be used by God, we need to be in step with God. After a lifetime of walking and being used by God, perhaps we can then say that truly the journey is finished. Maybe on that journey we might have gone astray sometimes. Sometimes we can think our task is finished when in fact it isn't, and there's so much more to do. But God can and does use every one of us, all of us who are open to God. And God speaks to every generation, whether we're old or whether we're young. We're always open to that call, and God will use us. And there are so many examples in the Bible where God is calling and God is using people. And sometimes we actually hear that call by name. And that causes us to reevaluate our identity. What is it that makes me me? What is God's call on my life? I outlined very briefly last week that our PCC had met to shape our vision to take us forward for the next few years. And maybe that vision is going to become our identity as a church. And I'm going to be unpacking that over the next 3 weeks through a series of teaching. But to be centered on our community, to welcome everyone, and to encourage others is where we feel that God is shaping us for the future. That's God's call on our lives. That's God's call to us to reevaluate what it means to be a church, to be shaped into the way that God is calling us. And sometimes we have to go out from our comfort zones, move out of our boundaries, because that is sometimes what God is calling us to do. There's always a chance for a Sabbath rest. There's always a chance just to take time and take stock. And that's really important, those oases, those quiet periods in our lives. And when we take that time out to pause, to reflect, and to pray, we will then perhaps see more clearly into the prayerful vision that God is calling us to follow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.